We're going to continue in a series that we started last, before the Fugates came, and we are looking at the Book of Ruth, and it's a wonderful book, and I hope you read it. It's a short book, but it's so profound, and I hope that as we go through it, you will see the great provision of God that he always provides. That is one of the beautiful aspects of this book. There's this beautiful provision of God, so... my question is, what can you do in 14 hours? In 14 hours, what can you do? If you were to leave right now and get in a car, you could make it all the way up to Grand Rapids City there in Iowa. Just so you know, if you wanted to ever go to the largest corn-producing, the corn-producing capital of the world, you can go to... Tammy's like, no, no, no. Okay, so she says no. All right. You could watch all the Lord of the Rings extended edition, right, and then still have two more hours left over to do whatever you want with. So get on it. So there you go. No, no. Okay. Not in that order. Oh, were they backwards? Okay. The green one was on the left, right? Okay. But that's the purpose. Anyway, moving on. All right. You can listen to your favorite vinyl 18 times, just so you know. So you can listen to your favorite vinyl. So they're like what? They're 46 minutes. Each side is 26 minutes or whatever. It's like 46 minutes per vinyl. So you can listen to it 18 times. So I did some math here today. You could watch the longest baseball game about twice. By the way, that was 8 hours and 25 minutes, 33 innings long. That was the Pawtucket Red Sox and the Rochester Red Wings in 1981, by the way. So, you just in case you want to know. So, anyway, my question really is, what can God do in 14 hours? What can God do? So, you could do all these great things in 14 hours. And we're going to see what God does in 14 hours of one day. And I hope that you grasp this understanding of what God can do in a short amount of time. I hope to show you. So if you have your Bible, we're going to be in Ruth chapter 2. Ruth 2. So if anyway, it's just so you know, it's Joshua judges Ruth. That's how it goes. So if you want to find it, you're welcome to. Ruth chapter 2. I'll have it up on the board here. And we'll go ahead. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's. Husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabite, said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I might find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So, as we kind of go into chapter 2, do any of you remember how chapter 1 ended? Chapter 1 was brutal. Chapter 1, you remember, Naomi is there. She is living in a foreign land, her and her husband, and they have kids. They have two boys who married and have wives with no kids. So as a result of this famine or whatever, we don't know. We're not privy to that information. Both sons die, and then it's just Naomi and the two girls. The one daughter says, "I'm going back home to my people." The other daughter, Ruth, says, "No, no, no. Where you go, I will go. I'm going to stay with you, and it's you and me. I'm in this, and your God's going to be my God." She makes this great commitment to follow God. Even though she didn't know this God, she didn't know about him, she just says, whatever it is, I want to be a part of where you're going. It's this great picture of loyalty between Ruth and her mother-in-law. And then we find Naomi. So when she comes back into Bethlehem, she says, "I am so broken. I went away full, but now I come back with nothing." Right, and that's how it ends. If you look here, now in the beginning of chapter 2, now that remember, how much did they have when chapter 1 ended? Naomi says, "I have what? I have nothing." So I'm just assuming, according to Naomi, when Ruth leaves the house that morning, she has what? Nothing. So she has nothing. So she just says, I'm going to go out to the field and let me kind of just see what happens today, right? Let me find some favor in somebody's eyes, right? I just want to, by the way, Israel had like a social assistance program. So when you were a farmer, when you were like clearing your fields, you had to leave the corner of your fields. You're not allowed to do, like, you know how when you mow your yard and you kind of just miss a spot because you don't feel like doing it? That's exactly what this was. But they were meant that they could, that people who didn't have much could go out to the field and glean. Isn't it amazing? God supports social assistance programs, just so you know. So this is what God does, by the way. But like, this is what she was planning to do, right? So she goes there and she goes and she wants to go pick up which is see what happens. And it's amazing. We're going to see God cares for those who have nothing. How God cares for those who have zero here today. All right, so as we keep going, so she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, if you remember, I preached on this last time, those words, as it turned out, I love that because the author has no idea what they're talking about. As it turned out, just by chance, right, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the same clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. Lord be with you. The Lord bless you, they answered. So she leaves with nothing, and she ends up in this field, right, and it just happens that it belongs to the guy who is their closest relative, who has food in Bethlehem at the time, and this is the closest guy they have to like somebody who's going to repair their family. I just find it incredible. I find it incredible. And as we keep going, we're going to see Boaz asks some of the overseers, who does this woman belong to? The overseers replied, she is a Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves and behind the harvesters, and she came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short time. And so I want to show you, as we see this, that Boaz is noticing this woman. He sees what's going on, and all of a sudden, God is beginning to, like, turn the wheels of what's going on in their lives. It's incredible. It's great. And we see that she goes there in the morning. Now, can I just stop for a moment? So as it turned out, she just happens to be in the right place at the right time, just by chance, right? Just by chance. I do not have enough faith to be an atheist here today. Like, I don't. Like if there are people who are listening to my voice or even in this room who do not believe in God, just so you know, you have more faith than the pastor here today. Because the situations like this that prove to me that God is on the throne and that he knows what he's doing. Like, I do not. I was watching, we were watching a program on the eclipse, and it said, it was like some Natural Geographic thing. It's like, when the sun happens to move by cosmic chance, is the right distance between, and I'm like, cosmic chance? Cosmic chance? I'm like, that's what people believe. Like, there's just, things just happen to be right where they need to be. And I'm like, I do not have enough faith to be an atheist. I just don't. I can't do it, right? And so God is orchestrating this whole thing, and God is moving here. And then that day she goes out into the field. And my point is she came into that field in the morning with nothing. And let's keep going. And in a matter of 14 hours, God is going to do something amazing. So I had to look up to find out when the barley harvest was in Israel. By the way, barley harvest is in early June, late May. So that's when they harvest barley. So I'm like, I wonder how much sunlight is available in Israel at the time. I want to take a wild guess. How many hours of sunlight is in Israel at the time? 14 hours. There you go. So your pastor isn't the smartest person in the world. I just look up things, right? Like, I do a lot of Googling, just so you know. But anyway, so 14 hours of sunlight, she would have been in the field from very early morning to there in the evening. And we're going to see she ends up in the evening, right? And here, in a matter of 14 hours, God is going to bring about a work in her life, and we're going to see what's going to happen in just 14 hours. But like I've already shared, we have this great moment. I've already talked about this. Let's keep going. So God has a divine love for those who are his. And I want you to see this, because There is something going on behind the scenes in Ruth's life that God is at work in. And in a matter of a very short amount of time, God is going to use this moment in Ruth's life to show that at the end of the day, when that day ends, after 14 hours, she's going to have so much more than what she started with. And my hope is that we can begin to put our own situations before God. Because there's a chance the way that something is going on in your life right now is not the way that it may be in a short amount of time later. Now, 14 hours is what God did in this day. God can do things in a shorter amount of time, or he may craftily take more time with whatever you're going through. But the point remains the same. God can do amazing things. And so I want you to know this. It doesn't take long for God to do amazing things. We just have to take the time around us to see what he's doing. Because I guarantee you, whatever the situation is that you're going through, where you need God to provide for you in a certain way, where you need God to come through in a big way, or I'm struggling here and I need some help, it's not going to take a whole lot of time for God to move if we look and look for him where he's moving in our situations. And so how long does it take for you to turn around a mindset or a perception of unfortunate events in your life? If you're like me, I ruminate on the wrong things all the time. Right, I dwell on things I shouldn't be dwelling on. Oh, the world ends every week for your pastor. Just so you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's falling apart, right? And I'm reading this, I'm going through this, and I'm like, oh my gosh, the Lord is just saying, do you have faith at all? Do you believe that I can move in a matter of 14? I'm just spoiler alert. I'm gonna share the big point of this sermon. She had nothing at the beginning of the day. At the end of the day, she has food, water, shelter, and a full tummy. That's what she's got, right? Not too shabby, I think, walking out of the house with nothing, right? That's a great day. And so in a matter of 14 hours, God provided everything that she needed. Not everything she wanted, but everything she needed. And so here we're going to see that it doesn't take a lot of time for God to turn around a situation in your life. And I want, so instead of dwelling on the things that might go wrong, she did not leave the house being like, oh my gosh, this is so awful. Oh my gosh. She said, I'm going to go out and see where God moves today. And look what happened. She ended up in the right field at the right time. She ended up with food, water, shelter, and safety, because Boaz says you're not allowed to touch her, right? And then she had a food, she had 25 pounds of barley at the end of the day, and Naomi begins to eat. And it says Naomi had a full stomach too. By the way, remember what Naomi said she had? Remember? She had nothing. At the end of the day, she's like, oh my gosh, right? That's a good day. So let's get into it. But before we do, I want to pray, because there's a chance that you walked in here this morning and there's something that's bothering you. There's something that's hampering you. There's something that's driving you crazy. There's something that you're thinking about that you can't sleep about. There's something that is just overwhelming you today. And today's the day that God says, just give it to me and watch how long it takes for me to take care of this problem. And if that's you, let's go before Jesus right now and ask for him, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to say, this situation's yours. Take as much time as you need, but I'm going to give it to you. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, Ruth left that situation. She had nothing in the morning, and by the end of the day, she had you and your provision and your love and your character and your hope. Lead us today to see how you moved. But most importantly, Lord, this is not about head knowledge. This is about heart knowledge that we are going to apply, that the very same God wants to move in our lives too. Would you do that? Would you challenge us? Would you push aside the lies of the enemy, the lies of Satan that says that he's not going to work, that he doesn't care, that he doesn't know, that he's not strong enough, that he's not big enough? Lord, remove all those lies and let us see right from Ruth that you are a God who provides. Thank you for that hope that we have. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. So let's keep going. So this is our big question. How long does it take for God to do amazing things? It does not take very long. So heads up, because we're going to see how God is going to move. So let's keep moving. All right. And I lost my, there we go. Let's move on. First thing I want you to see is refuge can equal reward. Where you run in times of crisis is of great importance to God. Where do I go when the bottom falls out? Where do I go when I feel anxiety? Where do I go when I feel like all is lost? Where do I run? Do I run away or do I run towards? Well, let's see what happened here. Boaz replied, I've been told all about what you have done. By the way, Boaz comes and meets Ruth in the field. She's been there. The harvesters are like harvesting. By the way, they didn't have big tractors. I don't know if you know this or not, but there's no big tractors in Israel, and she's like falling behind this giant combine. No, they're like harvesting with scythes. Like they're going through this barley field, and she's there picking up whatever she can just to grab on to whatever little bit she can feed her family for the day. So Boaz sees her, and then he goes to her, and this is what he says. Boaz replied, I've been told all about you and what you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and your mother and your homeland, and you came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you've done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, who under whose wings you have come to take refuge. I love this. Number one, here's one thing I found out that I thought was interesting. People are talking. People are talking about Ruth. And by the notice, godly character gets talked about. There's two things that people talk about, bad character and good character, right? So often it's like, did you hear what she did? Oh my gosh, right? But that's not what's going on here. People are actually talking about Ruth. He says, it's been told all to me about what you've done. Your godly character has been on display. And by the way, there is nothing faster than word of mouth, especially if you live near the Amish. I don't know how this works, but if you live in Honeybrook, the Amish will know things about people before you do. I don't know how this works. They don't even have the social media. But they know things. Why? Because they talk to one another. And man, do they talk. And if it's godly character, they'll know. Oh, wow, they're a great person. Oh, I heard what they did. The same is true about your godly character. If you want people to know God more, live out godly character. It gets noticed. That's all I'm saying. Number one, it gets noticed. But that's a sidebar. Let's get back into this idea of refuge. Notice what he says. He says, you've come to the Lord for refuge. You've come to him. And what I desire for him to do is to richly bless you. He doesn't chastise her. Wait, what? Get out of my field, right? Like, can't you get a job somewhere? No. He says, it's been reported to me all that you've done, and the fact that you've come to God to find refuge, may you be richly rewarded for coming to God. You didn't run away from him. You ran towards a God you didn't know, and watch what he begins to do. It's this beautiful picture, and he actually desires a blessing upon her. Now, this is so cool because there was another person that wrote about seeking God in times of refuge, and so you don't have to turn there, but I want to take you to Psalm 57. Take a look at this. Have mercy on me, my God. Have mercy on me. For in you I take refuge, and I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I cry out to God, the Most High, to God who vindicates me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends forth his love and faithfulness. Anyone want to take a wild guess whose words those are? Those are David's. By the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but that's the great grandson of Ruth. So there's a possibility that like old Ruth is sitting there with the great grandson on her knee, like talking to him about like how maybe not. This was like the seventh kid of Jesse, so maybe there was some divine chance. I don't know, but I guarantee you the stories of Ruth were passed on to David, of how she sought refuge and David understood this because he writes this when he's running towards God, when he's being pursued by Saul. It's this beautiful picture of when we run to God, what do we get? Well, he kind of shares with us. Look what he does. He sends from heaven and saves me. And what does he send from heaven? His love and faithfulness. Like when you run to God, when you go to God, when the bottom is falling out, when you have nothing, when you wake up in the morning and you are overcome by despair, when you wake up and you're like, I have nothing, you run to God and look what he sends you. He sends you love and his faithfulness. an unending, never-ending, unquenchable love that he has for you. And secondly, the faithfulness of God that does not quit. Those are two things that you automatically get in the morning when you wake up and turn to God. You get his unending love and you get his faithfulness, that he will not fail you. He will not forget about you. This is what Ruth got that day. This is what she received. May the Lord richly bless you for the way that you've loved. You seek refuge in God's in God in times of trouble, and he will send his love and faithfulness from heaven to you. He does not sleep. He does not slumber. He does not miss your memo, right? He's not like so many others that just like, he's not an automatic. I love this. I read an article here this morning, like when you get like an automatic, like handcrafted reply, when you know it was AI writing it to you, like you get like, thank you for submitting your, like, you know, somebody didn't write that. That's just canned. That is, God doesn't send canned results. He sends his favor and his love from heaven when you run to him. Number one, where do you run to is a very important question. How many of us run away in times of trouble and miss the reward that comes from God? Like, I'm going to run to so-and-so. I'm going to go to this dark place. I'm going to go to wherever. I'm going to go to that vice. I'm going to run back to that which was comfortable. I'm going to go back to that bad situation. I'm going to go pick up whatever. Where you run to in times of trouble is of the utmost importance to God, because he sends forth his love and faithfulness. All the other things that we run to do not anywhere compare to what he has for you. And that's what Boaz was saying. May you be richly rewarded by running towards God. And that's what he does. I love it. David, great grandma. She was onto something there. Right? This, fantastic. Love your great grandmas out there if they're still alive. All right. Anyway. All right. Second, things don't always end the way they started. Take a look. So Ruth gleaned until when? Do you see it? She gleaned until when? Evening. So she got up in the morning, and then she got home in the evening. That was probably 14 hours, just saying. So your pastor's math might be a little off, but I'm pretty sure it's right about this amount of time. All right? Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah, 25 pounds of barley. Just so you know, 25 pounds. Just think about it. Some of you have like nephews or kids that are 25 pounds. Like, oh my God. 25 pounds. She carried it back into town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had over, and she had eaten enough. So, as many of you, Marcus broke his leg, right? Marcus broke his leg on his birthday. So his birthday started with cake. Right, his birthday started with singing around the table, and it ended with him screaming in a ER room there in KOP, CHOP KOP, which, by the way, is a fantastic hospital, by the way. I cannot say enough about CHOP KOP. So if any of you break your leg, pretend that you're like a six-year-old and go in there, and they will take care of you. Like, identify as a six-year-old, whatever they do. I don't know how this works, but, like, go to CHOP KOP. They're amazing. Anyway, the day did not start the way that it ended. What's so great about it is flip that, because God can do amazing things in the opposite. For Ruth and Naomi, the day started off awful, and we could say the same thing about Marcus. By the end of the day, he had a cast, God had provided, he was around, and by the way, we gave him a second birthday party the very next day. Things don't always start out the way they begin. Right? This is a universal truth that I want you all to know, right? Because by the end of the day, Naomi, who had how much? Zero. Look, she had gave her all that. She had eaten enough. Oof. Where's all that, like, hangry Naomi, right? Oh, I went away bitter, and I'm so angry. Like she gets fed. Now, all of a sudden, things are a little bit different. And by the way, we're going to notice in this next chapter, like, all of a sudden, maybe Naomi can start to think a little bit better. But here she has nothing, but now she's full. Ruth left the house and found God's provision. In a matter of 14 hours, they went from having nothing to having everything they need. And this is such an important, we dwell on so often the wrong things. And I just want you to understand that they had everything they needed. They had everything they needed from God through his people. So the day started with nothing but ended in praise. My question is, what can God do in your life today? Because, by the way, can I just ask, how often do things actually turn out the way that we think? Has anybody ever played situations in your head and how they're going to pan out? Now, some of you are like, oh, I knew that was going to happen. Okay. If you're like me, I'm always like, worst case scenario, like meteors are going to fall from the sky and like it's going to be awful. Like Armageddon's coming. And it never turns out like that. In fact, I've shared this so many times, and I just want to share it again. How many times do conversations in our head are different from the conversations we have with real people? Like, when someone's like, I need to talk to you, and you're like, ah, right? And you think it's, like, awful. And they're like, hey, do you want to go to a baseball game? And you're like, oh, they hated me, right? I'm probably revealing more about myself than I am anything. But, like, the point is like, things don't always go the way that we think. And thank God for that. Because God is so much better and so much greater than what rattles around here all the time. Things don't always end the way they started. And things don't always start the way they end. And so for them, they had nothing and they ended with everything. And so the longer we dwell on things that are not true, that are not godly, the more we miss out on what God wants to do. And so if there's a situation right now and you can't see the end of it and you're focusing on, oh, what if it comes back as the worst case scenario? Oh my gosh, what if this happens? And oh my gosh, what if the bottom falls out here? And the truth is God is not going to allow that to happen. Because God is going to move in a way that he desires so that he will be glorified. And I guarantee you, he promises you will always have clothing, food, and shelter. He will give you what you need. This is our God. We have to have the eyes to see that God is on the move. And so often we just run away from him and don't run towards him. And my desire is, run to God today. That's the final point. The last thing I want you to know is hope does not disappoint. Going down to verse 19. Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she'd been working. The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz, she said. The Lord bless him, Naomi said. By the way, different person now that she's had a couple something to eat. Just saying. All right. Lord bless him. He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead, she added. And the man is our closest relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers. By the way, can you just imagine the look on Naomi's face when Ruth said, where have you been? Oh, I've been hanging out with Boaz. Boaz! Like, you just like, I know, that's just the way I see it. Like, Naomi's like, oh my God, the wheels start turning and like she's like the song from Fiddler on the Matchmaker starts playing in her head, right? Like that's just, in my head, that's what's happening. But I live in like this Rodgers Hammerstein thing all the time. But anyway, like, not lying about that, Patty Ann. But like, I love this. Just to look like, oh my God, like there's one thing that Naomi has now that she didn't have at the beginning of the day. Do you know what that is? It's hope. The one thing that she left the house, Naomi, she said, I have nothing. Call me by a different name because there's nothing for me. She even says, the Lord has afflicted me. And by the end of the day, in a matter of 14 hours, she has something that she has had not had that is in great desire in their home. And that's hope. To have hope. There's hope. That God is going to move. That God is going to come through, that God is going to redeem, that God is going to keep his promises, that God is going to keep on moving. This is hope. And it is in great demand among so many today because there are so many that live without hope. I've had so many conversations with so many who are at the end of their rope and they have one thing lacking and that is having no hope. I don't know how this is going to work out. I have nothing to hold on to. I can't gravitate towards this. It is one of the most broken things that a Christian could ever be is hopeless. Because they're turning their eyes on the one true God who always provides it. Look what Romans says. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God, not only so, but we also in also the glory in our sufferings. Think of that for a second. We're hoping in the glory of our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And God and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit which has been given to us. Notice, he says that in hard times, God brings about something. When you have suffering, suffering brings about character. And when you endure with character, there's one thing that God produces: hope. And hope will never put us to shame. Why? Because of God's love, which he's poured into our hearts. There is a love of God that you need to know and that you need to gravitate to during the worst times of your life. That there is hope. That there is a God who's going to use your sufferings, your pain, your heartaches, your broken relationships, your bad diagnoses, whatever it might be. The good days and the bad days God is using to bring about one thing, and that is hope in a God that has a plan and has a purpose for your life. God wants to bring about hope. Hope. And so my question is, where have we allowed hopelessness to overtake what is true in our life? If you walked in here today and you say, I feel hopeless, you are in the greatest place to walk away full, to walk away with hope, to walk away with the knowledge that there is a God who's going to work in your favor. The one thing that I cannot be okay with is if you leave here today hopeless. There's no reason for it. Because that is just allowing Satan, you're saying to Satan, yeah, keep coming. Keep speaking lies in my life. Keep speaking that which is not true. And there are so many times that we have allowed hopelessness to overtake what we know to be true about God. Naomi left, and the greatest thing that Naomi had at the end of that day was hope. She probably went to bed with the cover, like, oh my gosh, like, it's Boaz, right? Like, there's going to be hurdles going forward, folks. There's another guy in the line. There's a whole lot of drama coming forward, right? But like, Naomi just is like, I just see her shaking. She's got food, clothing, water, and hope. And you know how long it took? 14 hours. 14 hours. God did all of this in 14 hours. So my question for you is, what can God do for you in the next 14 hours? Because he wants to do something in your life. That thing that you've been rattling around with for who knows how long, God wants to be taken away and replace it with hope. If you're here and you're without here today, you're without something that you need, guess what? You got a great family here who wants to make sure that doesn't happen for very long. There is a great thing that we have, and that is a holy and heavenly Father that sends his love down towards us. And that you are called to leave here with hope. And so, in a matter of, hopefully, you know, by 2 a.m., whatever 14 hours is from here, God wants to change your mindset about something here today. Think about what that might be. Because if you keep going the way, if you leave here with no hope, I've missed the mark of this sermon. The book of Ruth has missed this mark on your heart. And God's word wants to just break through and give you a peace that can only come through him. So, he can do it a lot sooner than 14 hours, by the way. He can do it in the next 15 seconds if we allow him to do it. So our challenge is, we got to come to him and give him those things where we are broken, where we are despaired, where we are, or I don't know how this is going to work out, you know, whatever that might be. Oh my gosh, I'm carrying the weight of the world on my shoulder. Like, it's time to drop that and pick up the hope that comes from God. And he wants to do it. And the good news is, I think he can take a lot less time than 14 hours. So my question is, what can you do in the next 3 minutes? We can come before God and give him a situation that I can be free from. Dramatic pause. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would use this day to bring about a goodness in the life of your believers. I pray that we would seek you and be used of you, and that we would find the hope that comes through you. And Lord, the book of Ruth is such a beautiful reminder of what you are going to do in and through our lives. And so, Lord, I seek this time, I seek this day for each and every single believer in this room to be free, to leave the situation here, to not have to carry it. And Lord, that we can just receive from you the hope and the provision that comes from you. Let us be the church for somebody here today. Let the Holy Spirit bring hope to someone today. Let someone run to God rather than away from God today, because you've been desiring for them this entire time. Bless this day, Jesus. It's in your name that we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus, who can do all these things and abundantly more. In your name we pray. Amen.